Sunday, the 6th of November, 2022. This is the Bible reading and talk from our annual memorial service. The Bible reading is from John chapter 6, verses 35 to 40, and the talk is by Reverend Kate Schengerman.
The reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 35 to 40. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." And this is the word of the Lord.
Very warm good afternoon to you. Thank you so much. Look, you've brought the sunshine with you. The rain is gone. The sun is here. Praise God. So, I want to tell you a story. In the beginning, there was a nice bit of bread. In the beginning was the word. Was it bread? Was it the... I want to talk about bread. A little bit about bread. I wonder if you like bread as much as my husband does. You know, he's from Germany and they bake the most delicious bread, particularly in the north of the country where the bread is dark, it's heavy, it's full of grains, it's really healthy, looks like a rock, but tastes delicious. I'm partial to a little bit of white bread, being a little bit of a Brit, you know, like I'm partial to a bit of tiger bread, uncut, toasted with lots of lashings of butter and marmalade and honey and not all together, but you know, that kind of stuff. Give me toast, give me bread any day, any time. Put the toaster on for after with the tea. All right, okay. I got your attention. Oh, brilliant. Okay, that's fantastic. Let's dig into this story. So John's Gospel was written about 90 to 95 years after the death of Jesus by someone we presume is the beloved disciple, the beloved follower of Jesus. His name was John, the brother of James. John's Jesus tells us the story of how God tries to get us back. And he did that in relationship. It's the Father with his Son and with the Holy Spirit. And this gospel, John's gospel, teaches us that God in three persons lives in love, in harmony, in unity, in this kind of unbroken relationship, a little bit like a beautiful dance, kind of with each other. So God models to us how to love them through his word. Now, we just heard that Jesus said that he doesn't do anything by himself. He always does what the Father does. And the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. So our continual growth, and as we walk along with Jesus, we want to kind of be like that relationship, that one of love, in the best possible way that we can. God is working through us. Now, just before this little bit of the Bible, Jesus has done the most amazing miracle. He's fed 5,000 people on a hillside. He has performed a miracle. And then, to top it, he's walked on the water, you know, and it baffles the crowds. And in the verses we look at today, the crowds are always looking for him, they say. How did you get here from there? How did you get there from here? How did you get there? You know, he attracts lots of people, the crowds. Some are curious, but some are just starving, hungry. But what are they hungry for? What were they thinking of this Jesus, this man? Was he a miracle worker, the future king of Israel? Was he the king of the food bank, giving an endless supply of practical provisions? The forgiver of sins, maybe? Ah, it could have been an entrepreneur who exhibited good hospitality, right? Or maybe he was the giver of life. Who did he say he was. So just going to give three little points today around this kind of message. Firstly, what did Jesus mean when he said he was the bread of life? Secondly, some people believe, some people don't. And third, the suffering of Christ and being raised to new life. But I do want to get back to a bit of the bread story. Okay, did you know that as well as bread being the world's staple diet, reportedly the Great Fire of London in 1066 was started by a baker? Did you know that the French Revolution was started by French mobs who were demanding bread? And in the days of knights and lords, thick slices of bread called trenchers were used instead of plates and bowls. Can you imagine that? I wish that idea was in my household. That would save on the washing up, and all I could do at the end was just eat my plate up, basically, and that's it. Well, that's a bit of a funny story. But anyway, bread and Jesus, Jesus and bread. What did he mean when he said that? And let's be honest. He said, I'm the bread from heaven, I'm the bread of life. What would you respond if you heard that from Jesus? If Jesus is center stage, that is quite a statement, isn't it? I'm the bread of life. Is he out of his mind? Is he tricking us with those really strange words? Well, the Jewish people listening to that, they would kind of know their story. They'd know their Bible book, if you like. They would know that years before that, God had provided this thing called manna in the wilderness, a type of bread seed. It was literally like a little small white coriander seed that was used daily, ground and made into bread, and it would fed the Israelites, helping to sustain them on their journey. But hearing Jesus say that he was the bread from heaven and the bread of life would have been a real bold proclamation. And it would have been the start of his journey to the cross. Some believed with faith and followed him. Others were outraged at such a statement and walked away. Some set out to kill him. Jesus said, the one to whom all who look his way will have life, life in all its fullness, and life everlasting. Now listen, Jesus, a storyteller, didn't say that he'd been to acting classes and was now here as a reincarnated loaf of bread. But his play on words were a little bit confusing. Riddles and parables and lots of meanings. I think Jesus gave a symbolic example, like he was bread for the people. And this role of bread, what does it mean? It's right in our everyday lives, is it not? Toast for breakfast, sandwich for lunch, couple of slices of bread with the evening meal, like my granddad did, or maybe a little bit of garlic bread with your meal. Bread is, and always will be, linked with well-being and family. It starts from the field of grain, then it's brought out, then it's ground into flour, then it's made into dough, and it's pressed and rolled, and it's proven, and it's baked in the oven, and it's delicious. But life isn't only about getting our fill or physical food to stave off hunger, though that is important, because we're spiritual beings and we require spiritual food. Jesus says he's the spiritual food. He says, I'm the bread of life. He says it seven times in this gospel. I am, he said, a term used up to 39 times in the Bible, meaning the great I am, the great God, stating his holiness, his presence, his sovereignty. It even says, to make it more confusing, Jesus is the Word made flesh, that he is God. God as a man, in person, giving himself to us to be in a kind of relationship, as a friendship, whose presence is always with us. Jesus can renew our lives and sustain it in numerous ways. You know, he's not going to run out or go dry or go past his sell-by date like a literal piece of bread. He'll give us what we want, not what we need. Because I think sometimes material things won't fix our lives. Not the latest car, the best relationship, winning the lottery, or job success. In God's eyes, that's not our purpose. He really loves us. He wants us to let go of these earthly things. They're temporary. And he wants us to reach for him, Because he's going to satisfy our needs for eternity. He says, come to me. Look to the Son. That is Christ. Are you looking his way? Maybe there was a period in your life when you felt empty or sad. Maybe it's today. Or you've been like that for a while, when your heart feels like breaking. Nothing can lift it. Today we remember those we love and have lost. We remember. We may feel raw, broken, lost. We may also have a little sense of joy in that as we smile and remember the wonderful memories. Perhaps it's a mixture of both. Jesus promises that whoever comes to him will be blessed and satisfied, particularly in that place of emptiness, of loss and grief. Jesus can be the bread that comes into our life to bring hope, comfort and peace, restoration, even through the most difficult seasons of mourning, of change, of transition, even through life and even through death. Whoever looks to the Son, that is Jesus, will be raised up with new life. Are we looking his way? Some believe who Jesus was, some don't. But Jesus was always in a conversation with those around him. The leaders, the crowds, the Jewish people, always challenging them to think outside the box, giving them a chance to ponder the big questions of life and to make them realize and understand who he was. Now, there's a lot of big questions thrown out there in society. Some are like this. Is there more to life than this? Do you really believe there's life after death? There are huge numbers of people who are far from God. You know, in the supermarket of life, there's a lot out there for us to tempt us and beckon us in. But maybe you've been on one of those courses, you know, those Christian courses, the Alpha course, when somebody might have invited you into a space where you can ask the big questions of life. We might not have all the answers, but it's a chance to explore. Maybe you know someone today who's actually seeking the meaning of life and maybe wants some answers. Jesus' desire is that you will receive eternal life in and through him, that you'll be raised up, you'll be resurrected with a new path and a new life. But how can this happen? Just going to use a little story that I pinched from somebody who's a great evangelist called J. John. It goes like this. I imagine that we all have phone contracts which we need to get renewed. Yeah, sometimes they sort of run out. Okay. And we need to get the right deal, right price, best connection where possible. When we believe that God wants us to be in a kind of relationship with him, we accept that our old, broken, worthless contract won't get any better. We need a better one, an even more powerful one, one that's going to last. Then the communication is better, it's amplified, and we're off. And this is a bit of a loose analogy of maybe God and us. Because God knows our fragility, he knows our brokenness. Yet through the forgiveness of sin, he can make us a new creation. That's the exchange of his life, the gift that is on offer to make us new. But God never forces us on this journey to believe and follow. He gently and lovingly gives free will, because he's a really good God. He wants to reveal to our hearts that life with him and in him will bring a deeper life and a deeper faith. And he wants us, he longs for us to kind of do a bit of a turn around from the things that have brought us down and enter in. But there are things that block us. What are those things that they might be? Maybe one of the blockers is the Son looking to Jesus, because we want to know about suffering. And we know about suffering because we've experienced it personally and out there. There's a lot of pain and suffering. That's one of the big questions that people say. If there's a God, why is there so much suffering in this world? We can see it all around, the injustice of it. Death and brokenness in all its fragility, in family life, out in the world's current affairs. Do you know, it's so depressing, isn't it, every time you look at the news? You can feel lost and sad, and this grief can just grip us. And any talk of this new Christ-like risen life can just seem sometimes futile. Can one really stand on the side of faith when all seems like a dead end? Whoever looks to the Son, that is Jesus, will be raised up with a new life. Are you looking his way? Do you believe? But God knows about suffering and loss. Priest and scholar Richard Rohr says, if we believe in Jesus, then we can know God is suffering love. Suffering death in crucifixion because he loved the world so much. He didn't even die from a distance, but up close, witnessed by his mum and his friends. Only last Friday, in the area where I live, a young person was critically injured in an attack. Many witnessed the scene. The community absolutely devastated. This young person suffered pain. It's human suffering. Jesus suffered and felt human suffering at the cross too, bringing himself closer to humankind in their brokenness and pain, just like ours. And that relationship I told you at the beginning of the message about that unbroken relationship between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, it was temporarily severed at the cross. The worship song that we just sang a moment ago, how great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. We all know suffering at some level. Each of us, in grief, in loss, in illness and despair. Richard Rohr says, you can't just throw pain and loss away. He says that when you hold pain, Jesus will transform you through it. Do you believe that? And in the hindsight of that phase we often travel through, you know, we'll certainly touch the lives of others without even meaning to. With empathy and compassion, in healing, in loving our neighbours with the good news of what the resurrection of life in Christ offers us, raised to new life. Just a very brief story about a man called Ezekiel in the Bible, in the Old Testament. God commanded him in a vision to bring lots of dead bones in a valley to live. And he was like, what? He said, go on, pray over those bones, tell them to live. So he did. Not only did the power of God come and rattle and roll those bones, they rose up and became an army, flesh and blood running through them. They were alive. This is one story of what God can do. If we're willing to obey and listen and act, and God can raise us up through what seems dead, what seems impossible, when we believe. And we might pray that prayer that Ezekiel prayed over ourselves, our families, all the problems, the ill health and the financial crisis. We might pray, Spirit of God, we might say, come on to those people, to that situation, and bring the resurrected life of Jesus and change so that you'll be known. Just let's wrap this up. Jesus, the bread of life, invites us to experience life in all its fullness. Together with him, through every season of our journey, he invites us to look his way, to turn from the impossibilities of stuff that keeps us captive and walk with him. He's waiting to heal and forgive, to release us from our suffering, not from a distance, but up close. Jesus' death was barbaric and cruel. He knew a thing or two about suffering. The hope of this horrific death was that death was defeated. He was raised to glory. We are promised that glorious life when we look and believe. Yes, there's a world of darkness and suffering all out there. It's a bit of a fallen world. But Jesus came from heaven to earth to satisfy our hunger and quench our thirst. Not temporarily, but permanently. From the overflow of the deepest well from the throne of grace. The pinnacle of future newly raised life in the Christian faith will one day be when there's no more death, no more pain, no more sickness, no more tears. We know this as the ultimate eternal life. Yet, in John's Gospel, John writes, we don't need to wait until then for our lives to be made complete. Eternal life is to be lived in and out now. with Jesus, pushing right through the cross of suffering and coming out the other side. Today we remember those we have loved and lost. And we also, our hearts are also intertwined as we remember a suffering God who is love and lifts us up. We finish in prayer. God is with us. Thank you, Lord. God really loves us. Thank you, Lord. God will never leave us. Thank you, Lord. God will be with us forever, now and into eternity. We ask this in the name of the Father, Son, and His Holy Spirit. Amen.